City of Sacramento gets the A's. And to top it all off, you see a beam tonight. Shouldn't the beam maybe be green tonight? Is that doing too much?
People would love that. Yeah.
I know.
I don't know about that.
That'd be very well received.
Keep it purple, but hopefully there is a beam at all if the Kings can take down the Knicks. And I think at this point, the way I see it, especially if Josh Hart and Mitchell Robinson are out, but even if they're not, Brandon, just based on the numbers, this is a gotta have it. I was going through it on off nights last night, and you can only, in my estimation, you can only lose two more games if you want a shot at the sixth seed. Only two, and they cannot be to the Pelicans or the Suns. Right? You have the Celtics tomorrow. This is a must win for me.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get where you're coming from. The Celtics game is a tough one to look ahead at for sure. As a second night of a back to back, I can't even begin to explain how bad the Kings get beat in Boston, I swear, every year. Sorry to be that guy, but they get...
That 150-point game still sticks with me.
The one where
the Tyrese and Buddy
yeah,
one,
and the most recent one as well, was also a tough one last year for sure. But, I mean, I'm with you. I think that they need to prove that this new identity, quote-unquote, is sustainable. Mm-hmm. Because the defensive progress is great. Offensively, there's some questions right now.
Yeah.
Like, Harrison Barnes does great in the first game that Malik goes down early and in the one after, and then he drops a 6-point game most recently. Or Keegan Murray, can he keep up averaging? I think he's like 25-19 in the last two games, 18 shots in each game, which is the most he's taken or second most in back-to-back games this year. Can he keep that up? The Davion Mitchell growth that we've seen, like, I do believe in the defensive progress. I worry that the offense won't stick and there's too much responsibility on De'Aaron Fox. And I think that he can handle that, but how do you survive nights where he doesn't have it?
Yeah. I mean, that's, that's really the toughest part. And how do you think in general, I mean, you can't replace point for point, assist for assist, but you know, yeah, you mentioned Davion and him stepping up. Keon's obviously been a bit of a piece of that as well. Trey Lyles and Sasha coming back has definitely helped massage things. And I even think Kessler's minutes have definitely helped massage things. But in general, how have you felt about how the Kings have replaced the production of not only Malik, but Kevin as well? And I think a big part of that as well, sorry to cut you off, is the defensive shift as well.
Yeah, they definitely are having to change their identity a little bit, which is why like the possession game is talked about so much.
Right.
It's how do we manage to stay effective offensively, like I mentioned with what the Knicks do earlier. But I think the growth from Keegan has been big, the playmaking. Quote, right? Where he's talking
three
about,
assists per game,
I'm
man.
Really trying to play make more and three assists. I think the difference is that it's like a mindset thing. He previously was a play finisher, and now it's, okay, let's keep this going. You know, I'm not going to attack a closeout, take two dribbles, and if the shot's not there, do this weird reverse pivot and get it back out, and the entire offensive flow is screwed, you know? But taking two dribbles and just making that next pass, and then if there's a hockey assist that comes from that, then great. So I think it's a little bit of a
set shift.
Thank you. Jeez.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one.
For Keegan there that has been good, and I think the same for Davion. I think that Davion has embraced it. It really stands out to me, that Minnesota game that De'Aaron missed. Actually, Keon started, but Davion, they really pressed him to be more aggressive, and I think since that point, he's really done it. So I think those guys being aggressive, and I'd like to throw Harrison Barnes in there, but honestly, I just can't. He falls in the category to me with Keon Ellis, Trey Lyles, and kind of Sasha Vezenkov, who's on the end of the rotation of – whatever you get from them, great. Maybe give me 25 combined between the three of them, 30 combined between the three of them. You know, maybe that number needs to be even a little higher, but that's kind of where I'm at with those guys. And I really look at Keegan and Davion of, okay, you guys need to step it up. Is it weird? My question, though, real quick, is it weird that we're not looking at Domas as, like, you should be the one to score more? This is a guy that's getting paid damn near max money because of his offense.
I mean, he put up 22 last game.
Yeah.
Took three threes,
and I think that was on purpose. And he made a jump shot for everybody
he
out
did,
there.
Right, a midi.
But I hear you. We just know he is what he is, right? Yeah. I mean, he's basically just an even Steven. You know what you're gonna get every night, and you're not gonna. How would he even get to 30 points?
Right.
I don't even know how he would get to 30 points, to be honest.
And maybe a lot of forces, a lot of post-ups, and a lot of just probably ugly possessions.
And he better be hot from the free throw line if that's the case as well. One thing, guys, I was worried about, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday towards the end of the show, is in the Knicks' last game, where I believe they lost, Tom Thibodeau was not happy about the defense on Jalen Brunson. And he had some things to say in the interview, and he just continues to say the same thing over and over.
He's getting fouled.
Thanks, Coach.
And then just leaves. And now so I'm worried that it's going to be makeup call time, and you got Keon, who is aggressive, and Davion, who is aggressive, and don't get me started, you didn't even mention Duarte, who he's the hand check king, and now I'm worried.
I get where you're coming from, but I mean, think back to when, after the Milwaukee game, where Mike Brown pulls out a laptop and points and tries to figure out what the heck is going on here. Did it feel like after that the Kings got a better whistle?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, or the Raptors coach earlier, I think that the Kings got him the game after, I believe. And I don't think that there was concern about that, and it never really at least showed in that game in my mind. So they're a physical team. I think that in general I have worry about the fouls. So I get where you're coming from. Yeah. We'll see. In general, something to keep tabs on
fouled.
For sure.
They're getting fouled. He's getting fouled.
They're still getting fouled. Oh.
I love Tibbs.
He just got fouled.
And just,
I love Tibbs. The fact that that dude is playing Miles McBride 48 minutes a night is the funniest, most Tibb thing ever.
Only he could get like Precious Achiuwa, Isaiah Hartenstein, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and Jalen Brunson to be like a top three team in the East and like not have a lot of spacing problems. It doesn't make any sense. But at the same time, it is like, it's perfect New York Knicks basketball. And there is something about like just sticking true to the brand that I have such an appreciation for, because, you know, me and Brendan are around the same age. Just growing up, all you hear is, you know, the same way it's baseball is not the same when Yankees aren't good. Basketball, you know, it's great that the Heat and the Lakers and the Celtics are good, all that stuff. But when you don't have the character that is New York in the picture, it's basketball is just not quite the same. And so it is really good to have, like, I mean, tonight is a very, very huge game for the Sacramento Kings. And I think the Knicks are playing for something too as well. It's in Madison Square Garden, and both teams are going to be, it's going to be on national TV. It's going to be a really big deal. And I think that's just great for the league in general, is just to have, the Knicks are a half game back right now of the 4 seed. They're only a game back of the 3 seed. So this is a really big game for both teams, and it's going to be on the biggest stage in basketball. Like that's why it's so important to have a team like the Knicks playing like they are.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up, but I feel like De'Aaron gets up for the Knicks games too.
He claims he doesn't.
I know he does. He claims that for everything.
About Madison Square Garden.
That's on TNT, De'Aaron, and then I think Bleacher Report asked him, and he said he thought Madison Square Garden was overrated.
Yes.
That's right. He has said that.
Yeah.
But I remember him throwing down a windmill dunk in transition before in Madison Square Garden. How often is De'Aaron doing that? Now, this is also a younger De'Aaron. That might have been headband De'Aaron.
It was.
So, you know, he's even jokes that younger Fox was a little different. But I don't know. I feel like he plays a little bit more in those games. But could be wrong, and he absolutely denies it. The same way I've asked him about Houston before. That's like home for him.
Right.
And he's like, nah, I see my people all the time. Like, it makes no difference. So that's what he says to everything.
Well, regardless of whether he claims it or not, ultimately, the Kings are going to have to show up in a way that we've seen them show up before, but there have been nights where they haven't been on their P's and Q's, and one of those nights was the Knicks game. And Chris, even when they played at home, kind of chalked it up to, hey, they just got nicked, right? No pun intended.
Nice.
That's just what the Knicks do. They can't let that happen again. Or at this point, tomorrow's show, if they lose, we're just talking about holding on to the 7 seed. I promise to those listening, I won't talk about the 6. Maybe I shouldn't promise that. Depends on what happens around the league.
You can't promise anything,
I should not promise that.
And then they beat Boston.
It depends. And then they beat Boston. Right. I'll put it to you like this. If they go 0-2, then I'll stop talking about the 6. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Ashley, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Ashley? What you got for us?
So I was just wanting to call and say that, you know, I think that we are going to show up today. We tend to play up to our opponents and down to our opponents, respectively. But I do believe that last game against the Knicks was a game we went without Lyles and Bezenkov both. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like there's this new unity and chemistry that I've been feeling and seeing since Monk got hurt. Not to say that there wasn't that before, but it seems like we're really gelling and we're also finding different ways to win. We're not just winning the same way. We had a game where we had four starters with double digits and we didn't get much from the bench. But then we've also had games where we've seen good games from Lyles and we've seen good games from Mitchell. And so I think that with us finding different ways to win, it's helping with getting some of that consistency.
Thanks for the call as always, Ashley. And look, he said it himself, Coach Mike Brown, and I'm going to keep saying it because I love it. Adversity brings opportunity. And I'm looking at one bars. Trey Lyles. It was a super bar. That's a Kendrick-level bar. And I'm also looking at Trey Lyles, man. I mean, you talk about maybe you don't know what you're going to get out of Harrison Barnes, but you do know Trey, based on the spacing that he provides, he's going to get he's going to get multiple chances at open threes. And if he hits them, it really is a game changer. For some reason, it doesn't seem like it happens as often with Harrison Barnes as it does with Trey. Maybe it's how other teams are defending them, but I don't know if Trey maybe feels like he got refreshed with that break he had during the injury, because he was struggling.
Yeah.
He was struggling prior to injury, and Trey Lyles is a guy who I think he's putting it on himself to perform, and if he does perform, it can really help the Kings get it done and stay out of that plan. Coming back, we will continue the conversation with Brendan Nunez, Sacktown Sports Kings Insider, Styles & Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Joined by Brendan Nunez.
What's up,
Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. Brendan, in your heart of hearts, you know, I don't know how many roundtables we have left. Hopefully a lot, and the Kings keep winning.
I plan to be here. I don't know what your plans are.
Well, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here as well. In your heart of hearts, 7 games left. Predict the Kings record. And be honest.
Yeah, let me pull these up again. I think I'm going 4-3. Let me pull these
don't
up
be
again,
that honest. Because
I know it's a tough...
Relax on the honesty, yeah, bro. Come on.
Okay, Knicks, Celtics, back-to-back. At the Nets, at the Thunder. And then you got home against the Pelicans, Suns, and Blazers.
And that Pelicans-Suns, isn't that a back-to-back too?
It is.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. Jeez. By the way, speaking of the Pelicans, Zion left the game last night with a finger injury, so we'd be monitoring that. That would make the Pelicans down Zion and Brandon Ingram.
He sprained his finger grabbing French fries.
Oh,
the that's word crazy. Is out.
Damn.
That's insane.
The word's out.
And CJ had like a 30 ball last night, and they still could not get the win.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most efficient night. Okay, let's say in these back-to-backs, again, Knicks Celtics, and then later Pelican Suns. Let's say they go 2-2 mm-hmm. throughout those 4 games, right? Then you're talking about Nets Thunder and a Blazers game. Nets Thunder on the road, Blazers at home. 2-1? So 4-3?
That
sounds about right.
Right. And
but I think they could go 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The problem honestly isn't the Knicks Celtics back to back. The problem is the Suns Pelicans back to back.
That one's really
that's
tough.
The problem. Because
especially at the end of the year too, you have no room to mm-hmm. make like you have to get those wins because you don't have room to make up for those losses.
No.
You know?
And if they've been playing well, yeah, you can work as hard as you want, but that would kiss the sixth seed goodbye. And
but it could put you in a really, really good spot. On the inverse of it, mm-hmm. we can't just do the negative side of it.
Okay.
If you beat the Pelicans, that's leapfrogging them and you're a half game above them, or who knows where you, let's just say that those two teams, we'll just say that they're even at that point. Mm-hmm. You beat the Pelicans, you're a game above them, and then you beat the Suns, you're now pretty much in the top six at that point.
Yeah.
And the Suns are playing 3 games in 4 nights. for what it's worth. Yep. They play the
tough opponents, as we know.
The Clippers come to Phoenix, and then the next night they go to L.A., and then they have to play the Clippers, and then they have one day off and then play in Sac. So back-to-back for the Kings, but 3-4 for the Suns?
Now that we've taken care of the Clippers for the last time, now you can re-figure it out. Kawhi, get back out there. We need you now. Yeah. We need you now because you look like you weren't ready a couple nights ago and the Kings took care of business. But now you can get back on the right track.
I mean, hopefully. I mean, and you know, it's unfortunate that all these games are coming at on the road. I mean, I guess you could argue that the Kings these past 2 years have definitely played better on the road than at home, but you know, yeah, you go into Madison Square Garden and then go from that garden to the other garden, TD Garden or whatever. Is that what they call it today?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was the old name or not.
Unless they changed it.
Yeah, and so to go from Knicks to Celtics, I mean, those are two of the toughest environments. And then you're going to OKC as well. Like, I mean, the OKC one is the one for me that's probably the most scary of those because, again, Boston has not a lot to play for. The Knicks, they're a little bit down with their injuries. OKC is still, like, in the thick of that 1-2-3 race.
Yeah.
They're not going to be looking to take any prisoners. I don't know if SGA and Jalen Williams will be back. Maybe by the time the Kings play them, there'll be enough separation to where it might not matter. But ultimately, I mean, I think that OKC game is going to be the one it'll either keep the Kings afloat or it'll put the stake through the heart of this team. But it's going to be a brutal road trip. The fact that all of these games are all on the road too, you could see how you lose one of these and then it stacks and just keeps on stacking. And again, you just can't have that at this point in the year.
Yeah, still have a couple games that Thunder do before they get to the Kings, and they have Chris's boy, Tyrese Halliburton, tomorrow.
Thunder, we know he's not going to help, right?
Thunder at Pacers. Well, it's better than Siakam who they might have next.
Every time it feels like a Western Conference opponent plays anybody in the East, they manage to lose.
And this is look, the way you could look at this is maybe they continue to rest those guys and Jalen Williams and SGA, because right after that on Sunday – it's Thunder at Hornets. So they're not really going to have, shouldn't have, I should say, much of an issue there. From the 916, guys, with Davion's emergence on the offensive side, I'm really eager to see him play and see if he can have an impact on Brunson. His three-point percentage has been the best on the team as of late. It's been crazy. It's been crazy. And I know we're saying in this current season, Brendan, but you got to look forward and think, what does this mean for Davion if he ends the season on a heater? It just makes things confusing. I mean, you can't take three guards into the net. You cannot take Keon, De'Aaron Fox, and Davion into next season. You can, but you probably don't want to finish the season with those three on the team.
Yeah, you probably could. I think that where the conversation gets complicated, I guess, and I feel really bad that, like, Davion's playing well and he deserves all the credit, that the next conversation does go to, wow, this is really good for a potential trade for the Kings.
It's
but
tough.
That's the reality, because when we talk about how they're going to take this next jump, it's acquiring a big name, another substantial talent via trade. That's what has been known as the route for a little while now. We thought that might be last offseason. We thought it might be the deadline. Now it's getting pushed to this offseason, and Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, the obvious, like, matching salaries, one or both, whatever that may be, and, you know, depending on what player we're talking about. Typically, there's a young player involved in these deals as well, and almost every time,
because it eliminates a draft pick pretty much.
Yeah,
right?
And it's very rare that both teams are in the same stage of trying to win now, and you just, like, swap pieces. You know, typically the team selling the good player, quote unquote, is looking for a younger player to be able to retool and sort of restart their timeline. And so Keegan's not going to be that guy, unless we're talking about some ridiculous Kawhi Leonard, who knows, you know, something absolutely insane. Davion is the only one. I mean, I guess there's Keon Ellis. I hadn't thought about this.
Chris brought that up.
And he's
yesterday.
On a good deal, but, like, he seems like a sweetener.
Yes.
And there's more team control with Davion. I think he's about to he could get an extension this offseason. I'd be surprised if that got worked out. It's probably restricted free agency the year after. But it's been known that the Kings, the way they improve is making a trade. And I think that Davion is a obvious you know, piece to throw in there because he does seem to be a little bit on the outside when it comes to getting the opportunity to reach whatever his potential may be is probably not coming in sack, and maybe another team could talk themselves into that.
The way I see this, and to keep things in the now and also in the positive, is that Davion playing well helps everyone in every situation. Short term, long term, Davion, the organization, yep. It helps everybody.
Yep.
It helps everybody. It helps Davion in his own way. It helps organization in their own way. It helps you for right now, and it helps you down the line. I mean, that's it. It doesn't, regardless of what is decided, it's never a bad thing to play well. It gives you more options. It gives everybody more decisions to make in a positive way. So that's how I look at it, and I hope he continues because, you know, you show up, Brendan. Sometimes I beat you into the game, but a lot of times you beat me. But, you know, it just depends on traffic.
You're usually there ahead of me, but.
No, thank you very much. And Davion is there getting his work in, you know, trust your work. And I do, to just simplify things, I'm just happy for him. You know, when you put your butt on the line and you work every single day and you don't get to play, and you were there, Coach Mike Brown, he said, yeah, Davion, he hadn't been playing the same way. He also just hadn't been playing. I'm taking him out. I'm putting him in. And he was open about that. That's why we love Coach Mike Brown and his honesty. And he was very open about that. So just happy for Davion. And hopefully the 916 is correct and his emergence will continue. Thank you, Brendan Nunes, for taking the time.
No problem. Glad to be on, guys.
As always. And we'll see you next week.
Sure.
And we'll be celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
We will be celebrating We're this close to the sixth seed. We can taste it.
Next Thursday will be before the Pelicans game. We'll obviously do this on Wednesday, but next Thursday is the Pelicans game.
So. You will not want to miss it, and don't miss all of the great content that Brendan Nunes has on his social media, on our website, sacktownsports.com. You can find it all. When we return, we have exclusive sound from Dave Cavill and Vivek. They got some questions, and they had some answers. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Thank you again to Brendan Nunes, who will be joining us, as should you, at Fieldhouse American Sports Pub on Monday during the national championship. And it will be a great time. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. In just a few minutes here, we will hear from Vivek, who it was part of a scrum, Chris, after all of the speeches were made, and he got asked some questions, some fairly hard-hitting questions. We talked about some of them as far as, oh, were there any guarantees? And he says, right. No, there weren't any.
Yeah, they met in a scrum after all the nice speeches were made and all that, and didn't take public questioning. But yeah, after there was a scrum around Vivek, there was a scrum around Mayor Guerrero of West Sac, and we even got some exclusive audio from shout out our guy Matt George over at ABC 10 and Casey Pratt, who's done amazing work following this whole relocation saga in general from the Bay Area side. They got an exclusive with Dave Cavill. So we're getting some answers here to some surface level questions. Obviously, all of the deeper rooted questions will probably come later in a more orchestrated fashion. But for now, these are, you know, some decent answers that we're getting. But I still think that a lot of people have a lot of questions for these two guys specifically.
Let's hear from Vivek right now.
Very quickly, came together very quickly. And obviously I have a long relationship with John Fisher, so it came together quickly.
What are the terms? Are you going to be able to share any of the terms? Because I know the negotiations had to have been pretty intense to pull this together.
Well, actually the negotiations were not that intense. John and I are friends, and So they will be here for 3 years, and then they have an option on another year. It was actually a fairly straightforward deal.
You said Sacramento's not going to play second fiddle to any other market. I already see the signage. I already see they're not putting Sacramento on the team name. What assurances do you have that Major League Baseball is going to possibly expand here or let you keep this team if Las Vegas doesn't go through?
Yeah, so I've been in touch with the commissioner, and I've gotten to know him, Rob Manfred. And they will be creating a new team. They want it to be on the West Coast. They'd love for it to be in California. And I think this is a great showcase for us. We can prove that there's a market here, and we can make the team successful. I think we're in pole position to get the new franchise.
Specifically, pole position's nice, but is there any assurances at all, or is this just something he said he would be willing to entertain? I mean, is there any type of guarantees for this? Because in negotiating this, you're driving down the price in another market. You're taking a team here. So what is in it for you to do this?
Yeah, no, there's no guarantee. You know, we have to show what we can do. And I have complete confidence that if we set our mind to something, this is an incredible city. We have the best fans in the world. And at the end of the day, the best fans in the world will make it happen.
Vivek, what does a perfect world situation look like 3, 4, 5 years from now, from your standpoint?
Well, I'd like to have Sacramento be one of the sports media technology centers in the world. This will be the city of the future, and it starts with sports and entertainment. So right now we have an NBA team, and we'll have an MLB team. And in the long term, I'd like this to be a place with a permanent MLB team and other teams.
What updates need to happen?
Will the stadium need updates to host a major league team? And do you hope that this leads to an expansion team later down the line?
Yes, we are investing in making this an MLB-level stadium. And yes, our hope is that this leads to a permanent MLB team.
What specific updates are you expecting? I know that the lights are a possibility. Do you expect to update more of the locker rooms back there, specifically with those updates?
Yes, yes. We will have a new clubhouse, and we will make updates that are in keeping with MLB standards.
The TV deal, for specifically.
A's fans that maybe are hesitant to come and support this team. What would you say to the A's fans that maybe are on the fence of whether do they support this team or do they come to Sacramento or whatnot? What do you say to the fans?
Well, you're going to see world-class baseball in the most intimate stadium in Major League Baseball. You're going to see an incredible city with a great ambiance. So, yes, please come.
NBC's, the deal with NBC, is that taken care of already as well?
Yes, the A's have negotiated the deal, so all of that, all of those loose ends have been tied up.
What's the timeline for the updates that you mentioned?
Well, we have to be ready before the season starts, and we work hard to... We have a culture of exceptionalism at the Kings, and we have a culture of exceptionalism over here. So whatever we do will be exceptional.
When did this, from a timeline standpoint, first come on your radar? And kind of along the lines we just asked a second ago, what would you say to those fans in Oakland that, you know, that go there and might feel a little bit different about coming to Sacramento?
Well, what I would say to them is that, look, we've kept this team for a few more years in our state capital. They're going to be welcome over here. They're going to see some world-class baseball in a very intimate setting. And hopefully it'll lead to a permanent team over here. My focus is really on Sacramento and the fans that we have here. We have the best fans in the world, and I know that they will be welcoming.
You invested in Indoco as well with Golden One. Do you expect to do the same thing around the surrounding area here in West Sacramento?
Well, I expect a renaissance in West Sacramento, just as we've seen with Indoco. We lit the fire with keeping the Kings here and building the arena. And I fully expect that this will be one of the sports and media centers, not just in the country, but in the world.
Is this a bittersweet moment for you, though? I mean, after everything you did to help save this team and this market as it was about to be pulled away to another city, to see another team in Northern California have the same thing happen to them, largely with your help, is this a bittersweet moment for you?
This is a very sweet moment for me because I have had this vision that I wanted Sacramento to be the city of the future. I call it City 3.0. a place, and it all starts with sports, media, technology, entertainment, and that's what we're doing here. I want people to have something to do every single night of the year, and I want them to have multiple options, not just one option. So now, in the city of Sacramento, every single night, you'll have options. You'll be able to go somewhere and see world-class sports, world-class entertainment. This is the city of the future. We don't have to play second fiddle to any other city in the world. And now we're going to see more and more of that. We're going to see technology companies. We're going to see the best and the brightest people in the world move here.
We are the city of the future.
Yeah, there was a lot in there, huh? There was, you know, we even like quickly wrote down Vivek kind of in there. I don't know if he was supposed to spill that tea, but kind of said it sounds like, well, we've known that MLB is thinking about expansion, but for Vivek to kind of make it sound like, oh no, those conversations, it's not a matter, it's just going to happen, and they're looking to have it happen in California. I mean, that's really big, and you know, all of the apparently they're going to renovate the clubhouse and all of that stuff. I mean, it sounds nice. It all sounds nice, but you know, there is a very, very sharp timeline to get that stuff.
Chris, back. He also says, like, he gets asked about that. He's like, are there any guarantees when it comes to expansion with the team? And Vivek immediately goes, no. So it's like a contradiction, isn't it?
Well, I think I wrote down the quote. Vivek during the scrum said he talked to Rob Manfred and went on to say they're creating a new team and they want it to be on the West Coast. I guess that doesn't mean, but he did say we have to prove when he got asked a guarantee question. So the question is what he said, that they're creating a new team and want it to be on the West Coast, is that for sure? I think we all know that Sacramento, this is a trial run. They're being open about that. My question is it 100% that they're even making a new team?
Yeah, which is, I feel like that's what he was being asked and bounced around it a bit. Am I interpreting that wrong?
I thought he bounced around. Well, he didn't. He said there were no guarantees.
What he bounced around was the bittersweet question. He bounced right around that. He did not want anything to do with that question. But I think it's a fair and valid point, especially a lot of A's fans feel like that. We've had callers all day who've just been like, I mean, this has happened with you guys in Sacramento, and then the chat's going crazy. There's a lot of tension between, I'd say both sides, but there's seemingly like four or five sides on this.
Right. I took it as we know that this is a trial run for an expansion, and as far as, now you're making me rethink this, Nate. We know that, and then we'd have to replay the question. Was the question from Casey Pratt? I thought the question was, there are no guarantees that the next team will be in Sacramento, but there will be another team.
See, I took it as, will there be another team? What, Chris, do you not?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, I just took it as, will there be another team expanding to the West Coast? And that's what he was asking. He's like, is there a guarantee for that? Casey Pratt asking, and then Vivek responded with no guarantees. That's kind of how I took it.
Sure, yeah. So, and look, I think they're all just kind of...
It's vague on purpose.
It's vague on purpose because with no guarantees, you can sit there and say, hey, we never said it was promised. When we return, we have some more sound from Dave Cavill, also reacting more to the Vivek scrum. Prop Talk Dog segment and your calls, your text. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Gonna switch things up a little bit here and go dog segment and prop talk off the top. Then we will do a little cross talk with Whitey Gleason of the Drive Guys to give him an opportunity to talk A's as he will get you ready along with Mr. Draper for the Kings-Knicks game. All right, so let's get right into it, Chris. Have somebody that you feel good about today?
Yeah, I'm looking for the low-hanging fruit today. I'm looking at some of the bench guys. The bench played so well in the Kings' last game, so I got to look there. I see Davion 6.5. I see Keon even at 6.5, but I'm going to go with my guy. I feel like it's been a while. I feel like I've kind of strayed away from my roots a bit, and thank you. Right on time. I'm going Trey Lyles, 7.5 points over. That's my guy. Since he came back from injury, he's got 11 points and 15 as well. Give me Trey Lyles with a big day in the biggest stage in basketball in Madison Square Garden.
By the way, I did hit on the De'Aaron 6.5.
Yes.
Assists last game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Simone hit 2 on 1.5 threes for Trey Lyles. That was done in the first quarter.
That was easy work. Yeah. When Trey's rolling, I mean, it's just going. Free cheese. Yeah. But
I think we cleared the board.
Are we back? Hot?
I had Sabonis 8.5 assists. He got 9. You had De'Aaron 6.5 assists. He got 7
or 8.
He had
7, yeah.
And Trey 1.5 threes. That's 3-0.
There you go. All right. Chris, good job on the call with Trey Lyles. I was looking at that as well. That De'Aaron is still staring me in the face, but that assist number again, but I don't like to double up.
Why not?
Man, oh man.
Why not? What's wrong with doubling up?
One of these days.
Double down?
Yeah, who cares?
De'Aaron Fox.
That's right.
Over 6 assists again.
Oh, 6? That's easy.
That's easy. We're going to just lock that in.
Okay. Someone else has a score, though. All right, Nate, who you got?
I've never seen this guy on the board for the Kings.
Love it.
I'm relatively new for this. Davion Mitchell, 6.5 points. 7 points for Davion. That's it.
That's easy.
That's all.
That's easy, right?
That's all.
Should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking it. That's a lock. That's easily.
All right, there you go. Now let's get to it. Dog segment.
Arf, arf.
Nate back on the ones and twos. DJ Bedhead.
I am Bedhead. I did not brush my hair today.
There you go.
It was a quick morning for DJ Bedhead.
It was rough.
It was a dog segment. Yeah. And I had Davion for my dog.
You did.
And he balled out.
Yep.
I'm not going to double down. Somebody else can take Davion. You know what, guys? Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
We just talked about it with Brendan. You have De'Aaron Fox, who always pretends like every game is every game. Chris, I don't know. He had 20 points last game. I don't know the last time he's gotten over 25. It feels like it's been a while. I'm going De'Aaron Fox is my dog. And if he is under 25, he's going to have a good 10 assists, something like that. So I'm going De'Aaron Fox.
I like it. I like it. You know, it's really tough. Bright lights of Madison Square Garden. Where do you go? I'm going to go with Keegan Murray. I think, you know, we've kind of strayed away from that great Keegan stat of him having back-to-back games of, what is it, 18 field goal attempts in back-to-back games. I would love to see that aggressive nature continue. Again, on the massive stage that is Madison Square Garden, I know Keegan Murray's a showman, and he's just chomping at the bit to show out in the Garden and get all the shine.
There
so give me Keegan.
Go. Got Keegan and Nate. Who do you have?
Double dip, easy. Double down, Davion. Dog of the game. He's going to get a few steals, play some good defense, not commit too many fouls, like Tibbs has been saying. So that's just where I'm putting it. Davion.
Locking up Jalen Brunson tonight?
Oh, locked, bro. Good. He's not moving.
Yeah, no more. What did he have last time, Jalen? 39?
42.
42.
I'm going to say Davion stays under 3 fouls, too.
There you go.
Just throw that in there for fun.
There you go. All right, dog segment and prop talk on the Sack Chat. Curtis Hicks, Davion is my dog again. You have Amid Rock saying tonight, I'm going Fox, De'Aaron Fox. Liv Lack also on the Sack Chat saying, Fox said these next two arenas are his least favorite places to play. Well, he's going to have to play like they're his favorite places to play if the Kings want to stay out of the play. And, all right, joined by our own Whitey Gleason of The Drive Guys. And, Whitey, kind of just want to give you the floor And yes, Whitey is now looking around. Want to just give you the floor on your thoughts. We know you had some things to say on social media about the A's move to Sacramento. Chris and I have been talking about it and playing sound all day long. What are your thoughts?
Well, here we are, obviously. You know, I was had a hard time getting behind the whole thing, but here we are. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, the time for saying, well, I don't think this should be done. That's done now because it looks like it's a done deal going forward. But even the Mayor Steinberg said, I believe in a statement, that he had mixed feelings about it. Mm-hmm. So that really says it all. You know, yeah. Rather than, you know, oh, this is a great moment for our city. He's obviously aware of that element. But even the mayor of Sacramento, although everyone keeps telling me, it's West Sacramento, not Sacramento. Okay, I get it. But anyway, even he has mixed feelings about it. So here's an example of why I'm not sure exactly how to deal with this. What do you guys think of this? I know you're a dad. Mm-hmm. My daughter, who is, you know, she's not a little kid. She's a PhD. She teaches at Sac State. Mm-hmm. She texted me this morning. She says, I am an A's fan now? Question mark. The circumstances suck, but that'll be kind of fun to have an MLB team in town. Mm-hmm. It's like, so what do I tell her?
Yeah.
Alan, what do I tell her?
Tell her not to support blood yeah. money.
Right, right. Tell her you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. That's been
that's really tough.
The theme throughout the show for people that weren't originally A's fans and have no connection to Oakland, have no connection to the A's, just woke up, they live in Sacramento or the surrounding areas and now have a team. They're supposed to not enjoy themselves and not go because of something that they had no control over, right? No one is trying to dance on anybody's grave. But at the same time, if you live up here, and sorry to tell you, that guy's going to be a millionaire whether you boycott or not.
Yeah.
Life is too short, man.
Uh-huh. By the way, what I told her was, because we went to a game last September. She actually took me to a game in Oakland, the A's and the Padres. And I said, you remember that team that we saw play against the Padres in September? Do you want to root for that team? And she said, okay, fair point.
Yeah.
She said her.
Yep.
But well, she said, it'll be fun to have other teams that actually know how to play baseball come to Sacramento. Mm-hmm.
And again, if you let Vivek tell it, this is a tryout. And Whitey, we played the scrum that Vivek had and answered a bunch of questions. And he went on to say...
He answered some questions.
he went on to say, and I feel like nobody has been talking about it. Obviously, we've been on the air. And there's a quote. They're creating... He said he talked to Rob Manfred, and they're creating a new team, and they want it to be on the West Coast.
Yes, I've heard that.
And nobody's talking about that.
Yeah. That's something we can check on, huh? That's the first I've heard of that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just, we just threw it out there, and that's why we're doing it. Okay. And then, yeah, Nate and I went back and forth on the whole guarantee aspect of it. But right now, they're all playing the game on both sides. A's are saying, this is just how we drew it up. We're still on our way to Vegas. Thank you to the city of Sacramento. Then you have the other side on the Sacramento end saying, hey, A's, you're welcome to stay here. You know, you got that cousin that is bouncing back and forth through jobs and might be dealing with some relationship issues. Hey, you're welcome to stay here, but you cannot live here. We have somebody else that we're going to rent out this space to. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're – or we want to sell the place to somebody else. That's how they're framing it right now because they have to.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see as this Vegas thing continues to progress – or regress, what happens there?
You know why? One of the reasons this hurts so much for A's fans, real quick. I heard you guys talking about this today. And I'm not saying that everyone should. No, don't support it. Do whatever you want, whatever mm-hmm. you enjoy. But for A's fans, if you're really an A's fan, in the 90s, the A's, you know, they went to World Series 3 years in a row. And they were the dominant franchise in the Bay Area, believe it or not. They beat the Giants in the World Series. And in the early 90s, the Giants were having a hard time getting a new stadium. So the owner of the A's, Walter Haas, he told the Giants, because San Jose was neutral territory, he said, why don't you guys take that? Because he wanted to help them stay. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. He thought it was good for the region.
Right.
So the Giants are like, okay. And then later down the road, when the A's like, hey, we'd like to move there, Giants are like, no, you ain't getting that back.
Right.
So for A's fans, it's like, our owner, this is a long time ago, was trying to do what was best for the region to keep both teams. And now the A's feel like no one is helping us keep our team at all. Everyone's trying to kick us out.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was a different time.
Yeah, you don't know what you're supposed to do. Nobody knows what they're supposed to do unless you're just an A's fan that is saying, I'm done with this. And we took calls. They don't know what they're supposed to do. I said, are you going to be another fan? I said yesterday, I have a buddy who's just a Cubs fan now.
Well, it's like Vivek said, and I know a lot of A's fans don't feel this way, but they are keeping them in the region.
They are. Yeah, they are.
For a while, anyway.
Yes. All right. We will continue to break this down tomorrow, but Mr. Draper, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, they got you. The Drive guys getting you ready for Knicks Kings. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Thank you to all the calls today. Thank you to Nate, who had a lot of work to do, but he got it done for us. Thank you again. And until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the Knicks and A's beam.